Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer, and Zogbot, and Ass-Clouds across the third planet. Also, I'm also broadcasting to the Remnant. Now, which one you are depends on what side you're on, and I'm going to go ahead and cover that. Tonight is the Moon Perturbed episode number 26. Actually, it's around 41 or 42, but this is a full program because it's at the regular scheduled hour of 10 o'clock p.m. Well, it's running a little bit late. I meant to go ahead and start it about 5 minutes ago, but just as I was about to go ahead and start it, TalkShoe crapped out on me. So I had to go ahead and re-enter and do all the stuff that TalkShoe ends up insisting upon. So tonight is July 11, 2010, and I did a show from 4 o'clock to a little bit after 6 o'clock earlier, and pretty well what it covered mainly was Edgar Steele. I'm going to go ahead and cover some more Edgar Steele, but I'm also going to go ahead and cover Trader Glenn Miller and Corn Cob, because people went ahead and asked about that. And the title of this is Separating the Resistance White Men from the Bowel Movement Jew Boys. And tonight's July 11, 2010, and right now it's a little bit after 10 o'clock. So I'm going to go ahead and start with the theme music, David Ball's Wigger Problem, or Dave Ball's Thinking Problem, as I sing it. So let me go ahead and move the thing back. I got it set up, and let it rip. Admit, we got a wigger problem. Wigger's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem, and they don't know how to stop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. I wake up and right away, stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they go to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. The cheap wiggers have a memory of the way dog used to be. But the problem with wiggers is their fucking stupidity. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I know we got a wigger problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Well, folks, I do need to standardize this. And what I'll do is I'll close this program, so you'll go ahead and listen to the rest of the Spike program. The Spike program of 1995 or so was actually the best one because it had a young Dave Ball instead of a fat Dave Ball. Okay? So, anyway, some people might like this and some people may not. I mean, I thought of buying a video camera, and then I thought maybe I better not stick it up because it's hot in Missouri, and I was pretty well just running around, dancing around in the nude while going ahead and singing that. And you folks don't need to see it here. And for those of you pisser possums, and hopefully if you're Oba Dorker, gender-bendering pisser possum here, you deserve to go ahead and think about it. But anyway. So, Visser, well, his name's Jeremy Visser, and, he's essentially a thieving little, he's a thieving little Zogbot is what he is. He, pretends to be a Christian identity, pastor, but he actually is a little mouncer who hung around with Brian Wright. But, I mean, it doesn't really matter if you're Christian identity or not, because Christian identity is the white man's racial hate religion, and the vast majority of people in the movement underground are Christian identity. And Zog is scared crapless about Christian identity because it's just like regular Christianity was. By the way, anybody who goes ahead and studies the early church, if you go ahead and read Tertullian and St. Justin Martyr, they sound a lot like the dual seed line variant. And people have asked me, what is Christian identity? And Christian identity, in its simplest form, is the belief that the white, Nordic, Aryan, Western, and Northern Europeans are the so-called lost 10 tribes, actually all 13 tribes of the House of Israel. And they'd gone ahead and through the centuries, they'd mixed in with these white Adamites. And in Christian identity, you end up having it started out as British Israelitism in the 1840s, around the same time that Mormonism got started in America. And that's, you know, I mean, British Israelites, they went ahead and these British people said that they were the actual Israelites who were deported in 721 to 719 B.C. by the Assyrians. And over the years, especially during the last 60, 70 years, you end up having a number of variants. Probably the most popular or the most well-known was Herbert Armstrong's variant of Christian identity from the Worldwide Church of God. And yes, guest number 10, we will go ahead and talk about Edgar Steele. People were asking about Christian identity, and there were a lot of people. You know, I came up when I was a kid in the Worldwide Church of God, and I did get to see a good deal of pastoral abuse. Herbert went ahead and pretty well skinned his flock as well as sheared it, sort of like Pete Peters. But the dual seed line variant, of which I am a pastor of, believes not only that Adam was the first white man with a soul, but that non-whites were created on the sixth day, and that Adam was created on the eighth day. I'm a Comparean, named after Bertrand Comparé, and there's some people believe that Satan went ahead and created the niggers and the rest of them, and that they were brought in here like slave ships by Jews and Whiggers who wanted slave labor, quote, cheap labor, which we're still paying for, you know, just by Satan and spaceships. But regardless, they hold that there's two seed lines. There's a good seed line, there's an evil seed line, and that Satan ended up having sex, seducing Eve and having sex with her, and she gave birth to Cain, who was the world's first Jew. And there's two seed lines. There's one that's good, through Adam, through to Abel, who the evil one, Cain, spawned the evil one, Cain, flew, and then through Seth, through Noah, and then to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. And that's the good seed line from which came Jesus Christ. And then there's the evil seed line of Jews through Cain. And one, another thing the dual seed line believes in is that the flood was a local flood designed to go ahead and drown out sinning Adamites who in Genesis chapter 6 were miscegenating with demons and non-whites in the world's first Zog, Babylon. And for those who are listening, Zog stands for Zionist-occupied government. Essentially, Jews and evil Uyghurs run the current government, even though it is descended from Israel. But pretty well, as a race, as Yahweh's servant nation, we're being destroyed. Now, we've been given our birthright, but one of the curses for getting away from Yahweh is that we would be driven very low, and the racial alien, the Jew, the nigger, the gook, the beaner, would be raised above us very high. And Satan's children, the Jews, along with treasonous Uyghurs, are out to go ahead and destroy us. The white race, you know, i.e., the Aryan white race, i.e., non-Christian Israel. Now, Christian identity, you go ahead and you get into Christianity. So, as a result, I'm trying to go ahead and work to make it the racial hate religion of the Zogland of America. And pretty well, most of the church is all together, you know, hidden in small congregations. And I'm also going ahead that, you know, I mean, we believe in a great tribulation. We believe that this great tribulation has in many ways already started. There's a civil war, a racial and religious and a class civil war. And these Jews and these treasonous Uyghurs are going ahead out to destroy the white race. And during the last couple of years, the thieving and the incompetence and the rest has got so very bad that now Uyghurs, you know, typical Uyghurs, and I think there's 140, 150 million of them, and they're not so much, they're sort of like diseased animals, but also they're sort of like typical animals. Your average Uyghur doesn't know how to behave. Folks, I hope you bear with me. I did a show earlier, and I don't know if I'm going to go ahead and do two in one day anymore. I might go ahead and do one Wednesday or whatever, rather to go ahead and break it up. But the big news has been Edgar Steele is missing, and it's just like he's treated like being a Guantanamo raghead refugee. A lot of people think that he's being given diesel therapy. Essentially, he's being held incommunicado as if he's a domestic terrorist over a trumped up insurance for hire thing to where he supposedly killed his wife, plotting to kill his wife along with this here little FBI informant. Now, you know, the time deal. But anyway, going on with Christian identity. You know, I tend to ramble, especially when I get tired. I am tired. But in any case, I'm a dual seed line Christian identity pastor. And I have fought with a number of people who show up and then reveal that they're not what they pretend to be. And some of the people listening in, I think, are what I call, you know, Visser's little Mamsers and Visser's little Zogbots, and what I also call Pisser Possums, because Visser went ahead and played dead for about 4 weeks and then came back from the dead and lied that he never said he was dead. And eventually I went ahead and called him a little possum because he's a little criminal and he was hiding out for a while. So, generally, rather than go ahead and censor guests or anything like that, what I choose to do is let the pisser possums make jackasses of themselves. And what I do is occasionally I save the chat and then go ahead and post it. And these people, I end up sort of knowing who they are. This past week, what they did is rather than go ahead and fight openly with me, they decided to go ahead and hide what they're saying. But the end result is that I'm altogether for that because for all practical purposes, they might as well go ahead and use email. Now, if they go ahead and, you know, keep it to where only a few people can see it, they'll end up having more and more sock puppets and spies going ahead, and eventually what they're saying will go ahead and get back to me. But generally, I've got the initiative because I can pretty well say openly what I think about them, whereas they've got to go ahead and hide. And I've had the same thing when I fight with the Missouri Libertarian Party, and pretty well with Debbie / Clint Downey, and, you know, a number of these fake one-seed liars who are actually Jews and Mamzers playing back on the old Holy War list. So I've been in the movement for 16 years, and this show is mainly a gossip show. But the thing about it is that, you know, human nature doesn't change, and this gossip is still as relevant as ever. Same way with Edgar Steele. Zog has done the same thing that they did to a congressman named George Hanson, who took on the IRS, and essentially here they was treating an elected congressman like a criminal, going ahead, torturing him, using what is called diesel therapy. And the term diesel therapy essentially meant putting prisoners on a bus and traveling them all over in torturous positions all across the United States. So the thing about it is that nobody knows where Edgar Steele is, and some people go ahead and speculate as to whether or not he's guilty. And I don't believe in doing that. The thing, you know, the thing is that, you know, I mean, a lot of people speculate as to whether he's guilty or not, and I don't believe in speculating at all. To me, he's innocent. And even if he wasn't innocent, it doesn't matter because he's a resistance hero. For all practical purposes, when there is a civil war going, and a degenerate bunch of parasites at the top end up losing control, they end up essentially being held guilty for being so stupid as to go ahead and lose control. And the same thing happened in the French Revolution, the same thing happened in the Russian Revolution, and the same thing has happened in revolutions in ancient Israel. Many times I've gone ahead and talked about what happened with the house of Ahab and what happened with the house of Saul. And in Christian, in the history of ancient Israel, according to Yahweh's law, an ordinary criminal was only held guilty for his sins, If he committed a minor crime, he would get 39 lashes, 40 lashes save one, which they was called Moses' punishment. But if he went ahead and committed a capital offense, he would be executed, hung, and then buried before sundown. His children will not be held responsible for the sins of their father. But if you were a regime criminal, that changed. Your entire family was deemed guilty of treason. And a regime criminal and his entire family, if they were, and anybody who supported them, they would be put to death, his entire family, and they would not be given burial, according to how Yahweh decided to go ahead and deal with the house of Ahab. And anyone who went ahead and buried them, instead of letting them be eaten by the dogs in the city and the birds in the field, was deemed to be a criminal, regime criminal as well. That person who went ahead and sided with the Zog of their day would be dealt with as, along with his entire family. Essentially, you were a regime criminal, went ahead and used the power of the government to go ahead and get your way. You had to pay for it. Eventually, Yahweh got tired of dealing with it, and he went ahead and deported Israel, and the curse of Israel was it would lose its identity. Once it lost its identity, circumcision and everything else went by the way. The curse of the Jews is that because of their behavior, because that they were a spawn of Satan, is that they would always be known as dirty Jews. And Jews have consistently acted like predators and parasites, often destroying the nation they infested, and even more often being driven out by disgusted population. So Jews have been known as Jews, and that's their curse. You know, the curse of Israel was that it would lose its identity. So we in Christian identity, we know our identity. We are no longer the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but rather the ones that Jesus Christ has redeemed and found. And since only whites are able to go ahead and have a soul, only the Israelite can be called. As a result, Christian identity is a racial religion. Anyway, but going on with Edgar Steele, I have tried to go ahead and point out is that if you know, Edgar Steele's a hero of the resistance. Now, I had a problem, with Edgar Steele's big head, and I used to call him the Whigger Whimper. But I predicted a month ago, he's been under arrest, I think it's since the 12th of, June, and today is what, the 11th? He's going on the 12th. So he's been in custody for exactly a month now, a little bit over 29, 30 days. And just like I predicted, and I think I was the only one who went ahead and predicted this, is that he would not get bail. Because if he got bail, what he'd do is he'd be with his wife and his mother-in-law, and they'd say, hey, Edgar didn't do it. And as a result, their case would go ahead and fall apart. Now, I'm going to go ahead and cover let me see. Okay, well, guess number four. I don't really care if you believe in the seed line theory. This is more of a resistance. This is more of a resistance gossip show than it is actually a Christian identity preaching show. Although I do a lot of preaching from the point of dual seed line Christian identity. Now, most of the Christian identity church is in small one or two or three family congregations hidden below sight. And that's one thing I need to go ahead and work on. If I am not gone ahead and treated like Edgar Steele. But anyway, going on, I'm going to go ahead and read this white reference. Guy went ahead and he posted this thing about Edgar Steele. It came from this Ingrid Cassell, who was the widow of the late Don Harkins, who used to run what was called the Idaho Observer, which was a print tabloid. Which was also, on the internet and was read quite a bit, almost like the American Free Press and Spotlight. She was a friend of Edgar Steele. It's been printed in a number of places. And essentially, he says, "Dear Ingrid, thanks for your letter. All calls out are almost non-existent. I was looking forward to seeing you and Al yesterday. I suppose I just turned you away. I haven't had a single visitor here so far and only barely been allowed to see my public defender. I'm not allowed to call my lawyer even until next week. I'm in max security, full lockdown, solitary confinement, worse even than the treatment accorded Matt Hale. Most of my mail is returned to the senders, usually because of their using letters instead of full first and last names in the review and the return address. Okay, I'm innocent for what it's worth to America today. Here's what happened. My hillbilly handyman stumbled across a stash of silver bullion in one of my outbuildings, then searched and found two others, $15,000 and $45,000 total. Knowing I would discover the theft and know it was him, he tried to kill me with two pipe bombs he placed in the cars he knew I drove. They both failed to go off. Cindy left town with one before he removed it, which led to the discovery of the car bomb in our Mitsubishi SUV. Okay. The guy offered to be a hitman before more than once, but I dismissed him as a harmless buffoon. I had told them of the ADL, the Ashkenazi Defecation League, the Anti-Defamation League. It's run by Jews. And it's hatred for me. The murder for hire plot is beyond my hillbilly hitman, So I assume he went to the ADL, which either fabricated tapes that he played for the FBI recorder or produced a mimic of me to make the tapes for the FBI on the spot. Regardless, I've been framed and set up. By the way, the ADL was quoted extensively in the government's opening papers in court. I haven't heard from my wife or son and fear they may have been convinced by a U.S. attorney prosecutor of my guilt. I feel totally abandoned. What can you and others do? Angry, honestly, don't know. Obviously, this is going to trial. I may well be convicted, which will be the same as a death sentence at this stage in my life. I'm so depressed, I never expected them to come after me like this. You may share this with others, even post it on VNNF and Stormfront with my address so they can write me. Please write me. But tell them to put their full names and addresses in a clear return address on the envelopes. Note at this time we do not know his whereabouts. So, he's listed as being in the Spokane County Jail roster, although if he's been transferred, the entry could be deleted at any time. Harold Covington, he predicted that Steele would be transferred about a week ago, well, a couple days ago. He went ahead and said that it's going to be just like happened to Bill White, slash Weiss, and Hal Turner. Essentially, they were sent to Obongo Land in Chicago. And he's predicting that Steele would be sent there to go ahead and be tried before a nigger jury. Now, I've gone ahead, and last week I confronted Jim Royd Rage Giles. He's trying to go ahead and find Edgar Steele guilty of snooping around and spying and doing the rest. The reason Jim Royd Rage Giles does that is because Jim Giles is not only a Zogbot, but he still hates, I'm looking at the chat a little bit too much. He still thinks that, I'm losing my concentration, and probably I should do two shows at once, or in one day, but anyway, he thought that Edgar Steele would be given diesel therapy and, just like George Hansen and an Idaho congressman against the IRS was. And Edgar Steele himself says that he's not had a visitor, and he should be allowed a visitor. And he should be allowed to receive mail. But the fact of the matter is they're using whatever excuse to deny that mail. When I was in jail, or before I got in jail, I went ahead and sent Roxy's nephew a habeas corpus affidavit. And they didn't let him have it. They went ahead and read it and decided they were not going to go ahead and let him have it. So as a result, they went ahead and denied him habeas corpus. I was told that I would not be allowed to receive racist mail. And a lot of times I wasn't. It was just depending upon their whims. Edgar Steele should have been able to make bonds and bail, but if he would, he'd talk to his wife and mother-in-law. And then that would fall apart. So much for the constipation and bill of goods, Article 8. Zog does whatever the heck it wants to do. And Edgar, I can quite imagine that you feel alone. You're pretty well separated. Now, I was lucky. I ended up having five people who pretty well stuck by me. But when I was in jail, I wasn't able to go ahead and contact them, and most of my stalwarts were not very good at writing letters. Five people went ahead and stuck by me, and I intend to stick by Edgar Steele. But as I look at it, Edgar, you don't want a public pretender at all. You don't. You want to go ahead and be able to defend your own case, and whether or not you do a good job of it doesn't really matter, because the only thing that's going to go ahead and stop Zog from doing this crap is fear that when they are the ones on trial, that a vengeful resistance will go ahead and simply torture them out of hand for a confession. And that's what happened during the French Revolution, and that's what happened during the Russian Revolution. They lost their revolution. As a result, they were deemed guilty and summarily tortured and executed. And that's the same thing that's going to end up happening to Zog, to these, you know, current creeps here. This crap that they're pulling is altogether unconstitutional and contrary to the bill of goods, but they don't care. They're the ones who have power, and they do whatever the hell they want to do. So as a result, the resistance needs not go ahead and keep their precious, you know, their constitutional rights and their bill of goods. But over the years, I've seen these pigs, and they go ahead and they destroy these judges, these lawyers, the rest. They go ahead and destroy the rule of law, but they sort of think that the resistance is going to go ahead and dot every I and cross every T and prove to their satisfaction after they've gone ahead and destroyed the evidence of their guilt. And the answer is that's not going to happen. They're essentially going to go ahead and admit their guilt. They're going to go ahead and confess. And that's what Iron Felix Dzerzhinsky did. He was Lenin's policeman. He was sent to go ahead and destroy the ancient regime. And what he did is from the local Russian pig, village pig, all the way to the Tsar of Russia, he would go ahead and round them up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, torture them. They'd confess, and they'd go ahead and shove these pigs or whatever, these regime criminals, to the mob. The mob would tear them pieces, and he'd send their families to a death camp. And after 19 months of that, there was no going back. Yes, Russia had a civil war, but Iron Felix pretty well destroyed most of the regime criminals. The ones that weren't, yes, they fought, but there was no going back. And the same thing will happen when this great tribulation goes. But unlike Iron Felix, where he went ahead and essentially destroyed about one half of 1%, you know, and cut off the head, what's going to happen in this great tribulation is not only the head will be cut off, but the entire body of Uyghurs. 140, 150 million Uyghurs will die, and so will 140 to 150 million Mamzers, i.e. Miscegenated bastards, Jews, niggers, gooks, beaners. Because when things end up and people are clawing for survival and there is no survival, there's not going to go ahead and be any rule of law. It's going to be whether or not you shoot first, whether or not you're forwarded up and you're able to go ahead and defend against anybody who's trying to break in and steal your food and kill you because there's not enough food for the invaders and for you. What happens? Zog is not doing a very good job of running things. Things are falling apart. Like in Arizona, here's Obongo as nigger, his other nigger attorney general, going ahead and suing Arizona for essentially enforcing federal law. All these Arizona pigs are doing is just going ahead and rounding up a few stray beaners and giving them over to the Immigration Naturalization Service to deport back to Mexico. And essentially the feds don't want to obey their own federal law. They want to go ahead and bring in 20, 30 million more beaners so that the Democrats will all be in power. And they want to do it before November. So what you end up having is you end up having a race war. Now, I need to go ahead and print Jum a little bit more because he's seeing how it is goes in California as California and Texas goes, so is the rest of the Zogland. But getting back to Edgar Steele. In the previous show, I said Edgar Steele is a hero of the resistance, so he should not be telling us his alibi. He should keep his mouth shut and then spring on Zog whatever the heck he wants to. But don't accept the public pretender. And essentially, Edgar, if they're torturing you, well, don't worry. The resistance will avenge you, and we will go ahead and treat them far worse than they dared treat you. And that's what ends up having to happen. Now, let me see. Okay, guest number two. All right. Well, in any case, you know, guest number 15, whether you like me or not, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. You really don't. You know, generally, I'm going to go ahead and probably end up jiling a little, you know. I don't think I'm ever going to do two shows at once here. I'm rather tired. But I'm going to go ahead and bash a number of people. Trader Glenn Miller, maybe even Corn Cob. Corn Cob I'm probably not going to bash, although I have my suspicions and wonder why he can't go back to St. Joseph, Missouri, where he came from, and where it's still legal to go ahead and, quote, hate. I have no idea why Corn Cob moved to Estonia, and I have no idea why Corn Cob moved to Canada. There's a lot of people who think Corn Cob is a Zog bot, i.e. a Zog agent provocateur, a Zog false front, affiliated with the Zog false front of VNNF. But I want to go ahead and cover more of Edgar Steele. I think that what separates the resistance white men, soldiers, from the Jew boys, the Zogbot Jew boys, is essentially what side you're on. I've gone ahead and listened to some of Jim Giles, and he goes ahead and he moans, he yells, he whines, "Get out of that rock, Lewis B." And the fact of the matter is, Lewis B has been retired out of the movement for years. He's done 10 times what Jim Giles has ever done. What Jim Giles, he whines is he wants to go ahead and have open, you know, have open people, strictly legal, strictly legal. Well, it's not legal to go ahead and fight against Zog. It's never been legal to go ahead and fight against white oppression, white extermination. It's not lawful to go ahead and do this. So, oh, I'm going to go ahead and let troll number two be an ass clown for a little bit more. Anyway, it is not lawful to go ahead and fight against the Zog. And what Jim Giles does is that he has a man crush on Alex Flender, who's a Zog bot, as is Trader Glenn Miller. Trader Glenn Miller, he wants people to go ahead and go above ground so he can go ahead and inform on them, because that's what he did before. That's exactly what he did before. He went ahead and betrayed everyone who went ahead and trusted him. And Jim Giles, he wants you to send him money. He wants you to go ahead and send him money so he can go ahead and find out who you are, and so he can pay his water bill or his electric bill. Why, Jim Giles, he's a combination patriot and patriotard and Zogbot. And when he whines about people calling him a federal informant, well, what happens? He is a federal informant. He's already informed on Dan Jones. He didn't need to inform on Dan Jones. He could have just simply said, "I'm not going to go ahead and interview you, Dan Jones, because you told me that you are not supposed to be interviewed." But instead, that's exactly what he did. He went ahead and notified the United States prosecutor. So Dan Jones got in a little bit more trouble. So, he goes ahead and says, "Hey, if you say anything illegal to me, I'm going to go ahead and call the FBI. I'm going to go ahead and call local police. I'm going to call everybody." So essentially, Jim Giles is a professional sis. So why would you even want to talk to him? That's what gets me, is that he tells people he's from Radio Free Mississippi. I guess these people want to be on the air. Okay, no big deal. Jim Giles is a Zogbot. He is. You know, I mean, Jim Giles, like I said, you know, people said Jim Giles was Hal Turner 2.0, and I said, no, Jim Giles was Hal Turner 1.666. Jim Giles has no problem with rioting and narking and snitching. None. So why in the world would you want to talk to Jim Giles? And the answer of it is, well, unless you're a fool, the Zogbot. And who does he have? He has that evil orc sow, Mona Montcunery, and having the loveless Mantoid, N.A. Mantoid, who pretends to be a big Nazi. Well, guess what? If old Haring had lived in National Socialist Germany, He'd have been in front of a eugenics court, as noted by Lothrop Stoddard in his 1940 book, Into the Darkness, which you can go ahead and read on the internet in text message. What happens is that Hadding would have been in a, Hadding would have been diagnosed as a mattoid with no patriotic abilities. And essentially, he'd probably have been slated for sterilization, at the very least, and rightfully so. So here's Jim Giles, laying around, and he's yapping about Louis Bean. Well, guess what? You don't want to have Louis Bean look you up. Louis Bean is an actual hero. Louis Bean was a Vietnam veteran door gunner, and you never spent a day in your life. Essentially, all you are is just a bully, just a screamer, just a hollerer. And what happens is that the previous Saturday, on the 3rd, I went in and called Jim Giles. And people, Winston, you went in and admitted you could be beaten up by Jim Giles. And the answer is like, yeah, I told him that. I wasn't there to go ahead and show how tough I was. I want him to go ahead and scream about breaking the neck of a lawyer who's 13 years older than him, sickly, scared. I mean, actually, I think Edgar Steele looks more human, in an orange jumpsuit looking scared than he was as looking as a lawyer here. And I went ahead and discussed that with a few of my friends. Actually, Edgar Steele is quite human. He looks quite vulnerable now that he's being given the Guantanamo treatment. And there's, Harold Covington's believing that he's being rendered. He might be shipped off even to another country. You have no idea. Nobody has no idea. And it's just like the Soviet KGB. But the thing about it is the Soviet Empire fell apart. Every evil empire falls apart because it goes ahead and destroys its founding stock, its founding people. And today's Zog is the same thing. You got to where even Whiggers can't, Whiggers, your typical average white nigger, cannot support himself. He no longer has a job. He no longer has a home. So who's going to go ahead and take care of the Whiggers? Well, I've noticed the Republicans went ahead and said, hey, look, we went ahead and shipped your jobs overseas, but we're not going to go ahead and pay you unemployment, which goes ahead and makes me think, why is anybody going ahead and voting Republican? The Democrats are openly anti-white, but the Republicans are far worse because they pretend to be the white man's friend. Instead, they stab in the back. When I went up to file as a Republican for United States Senator, I was not allowed to do so. The speaker was. I, as an open white man, am not allowed to run for office. And I need to go ahead and work on my lawsuit against Obongo and also point out, since I've gotten news that there's an IRS levy against me, or a notice of levy, to where they want to steal about $5,000 of my money, that as a white man, if I'm not allowed to go ahead and be represented or to represent myself or run for political office, since there's no, shouldn't be no taxation without representation, that's what they were bitching about 234 years ago, I have no need to go ahead and pay federal taxes if I'm not allowed to run as a federal candidate. And neither should any other white man. Now, what separates the resistance men from the Zogling Jew boys is the fact that the resistance men take no prisoners. They know what side they're on. And they understand that it must be victory or death. Because if Zog wins, not only does the white race die, but generally the fighters die first. Because we're on the front lines. As an above ground activist, some days, look at that. Sometimes I'm just waiting to go ahead and be rounded up, just like Edgar Steele. It's already happened. I've been sent to a nut house on trumped up charges, and one of the things that sort of kept me is that this, he's a little mamzer boy. And essentially he was boyfriend number five that I ran off. And since he had a little bit of nigger and beaner blood in him, I went ahead and allowed boyfriend number six, who's humping Emily over in the ocean anyway, to go ahead and move in, and he went ahead and fathered two more of my grandchildren. But he was a white kid. And the guy goes ahead and tells me that he was sent up to Biggs on bogus child molestation charges. He said they were bogus, and I don't doubt that they are. You see, with the retarded, what happens is that a lot of times they end up getting accused of stuff they didn't do because, you know, hey, they can't really go ahead and defend themselves. I remember this stupid kid named Randy. He wasn't a rapist or anything like that, but he was accused of it. You know, Randy was an idiot. Randy was, you know, Randy had on good days about 75 IQ. I remember one time I was driving the hay trucks, and we were loading this square bales. I heard my brother yelling at Randy, "Randy, you idiot! Don't play with that copperhead!" And what it was is it was still half a wild copperhead, which had been bundled up in the square bale, and he'd been cut apart in a few places, you know, chopped, you know, by the chomper, which goes ahead and cuts the hay into wedges before it goes in and bales the square bale. And dumbass Randy was playing with the, with the copperhead's head. And that copperhead was still alive. He still had about 2 or 3 inches of free play, and dumbass Randy was playing with him. Now, dumbass Randy had a hay hook, and he had gloves, but those gloves ain't going to go ahead and protect against the copperhead fangs, and dumbass was playing with the snake. So I went ahead and stopped, and my brother went ahead and kicked the bale off and chewed dumbass for playing with the copperhead, and we went ahead, and I speared the copperhead and pretty well pulled it out and let it on the ground. You know, no need to go ahead, leave the bale alone, you know. I mean, go ahead and deal with it here. Made sure that I wasn't able to go ahead and be bit. But dumbass Randy was playing with the copperhead. He got accused of doing a rape that I don't think he did. Well, same way with this retarded guy. And he was talking about a few people that I knew over in Biggs. Most of them had gone on to Gulman, but they'd been there in Biggs for a time. And some of them were very, very, very much nuts. Now, whether they were innocent or not, you know, it's rather a moot point. You know, some of these people, you know, they were quite clever. You know, like Biker Bob, who essentially is a Hell's Angels hanger-oner and a professional criminal who sells meth and kills people for money. And I got along with him pretty good. He was a pretty sharp character. But he was there to play dumb. But then again, most of the people there are pretty well screwed up in the head. You know, the niggers are really screwed up in the head. But, you know, usually they do something weird, like cannibalism, in addition to go ahead and the standard rape and murder that niggers are wont to do. And what happens, he went ahead and talked to me as if we were best friends. And I said, well, we really weren't best friends because I ran you off along with this other guy. And I made you essentially sleep in the cold, you know, in this building in the back. And he wasn't all mad at me. Because as I looked at him, I'd gone ahead and wouldn't have let either one of the two mount my, sluttish stepdaughter at the time. So, anyway, he was never mad at me, you know, really mad, and he was trying to go ahead and be buddies. And I talked to him for a little while. I'll probably send him an email. I don't have any problem with him. But, going on, let me see. I'm looking at some of this chat. Anyway, though, with Edgar, as I look at it, he shouldn't be, shouldn't be accepting a public pretender. Eric Rudolph had a public pretender. Timothy McVeigh had a public pretender. And what happens, your public pretender is there to sell you out. So don't accept one. Look, Edgar, if they go ahead and railroad you because you're not able to go ahead and be your own attorney, you have the best right to be your own attorney. The second thing, Edgar, is that you shouldn't go ahead and say anything more that you are guilty or not guilty, because if you go ahead and create a story or create a storyline, Zog will know what you may say and then use it against you or trying to twist it or trying to do whatever. To us people, as soldiers of the resistance, Edgar Steele is innocent. And Zog is guilty. There's nothing Edgar Steele can do to convince us that he's, you know, guilty. And there's nothing that Zog can do to consider, you know, to go ahead and claim that they're innocent. But essentially, Zog seems like they don't have much of a case, which is why they're going ahead and not allowing Edgar Steele to have bond or bail, like I predicted, not allowing him to have visitors, not allowing him to go ahead and essentially say his side of the story. So, like I went ahead and explained to old Jim Royd Rage Retard Giles, it really wouldn't matter to me if Edgar Steele was walking down the street in Sago, Idaho with, you know, with the head of his wife and his mother-in-law and Morris Dees and Alan Dershowitz and Abe Foxman and a couple beaners and niggers. Because to me, Edgar Steele's on my side, therefore he's automatically not guilty. He cannot be held responsible for anything, especially if he's doing it for a revolutionary cause. Because it doesn't matter to me. If essentially I'm saying that there needs to be a great tribulation, there will be a great tribulation. Essentially, I'm the only movement leader who's going ahead and saying is that there is no saving Zog. There's no saving 150 million Wiggers. There's no saving 140 million MUDs. And there should be no saving. They need to die. There needs to be, just like the Black Plague, an ending of all these people who are not able to go ahead and live in peace together. And you cannot have a renaissance until after you had a Black Death, which went ahead and destroyed all the undeserving, all the unable to go ahead and live in peace together. These people need to die. And so they shall, because it's predicted in the Bible. But you don't even have to look at the Bible. You don't have to be Chris Andetti. All you need to go ahead is turn on your Talmud vision, find out what you're supposed to know. And essentially, it's just nothing more than, like my friend June says, it's nothing more than a thermometer stuck in a sauce pool, telling you how bad the stink is, how bad the stench is, how they're not able to go ahead and fix it. And that's exactly what is in the patenting. In any case, guest number 12, I mean, you may not be Chris Sandini, but the fact of the matter is let's say you're not. What's wrong with being a member of a racial, you know, the white man's racial hate religion, which tells you that, hey, Jesus spawned Satan, that non-whites are the six-day beast in the field, and that they have absolutely no rights? Go ahead and exterminate them at will. And that's why Zog is scared of Christian Dandy. See, going after Edgar Steele really makes no sense, and I went ahead and tried to tell people that Edgar Steele was definitely not Aryan Nations. But then again, Zog doesn't listen to me, and they're doing whatever the hell they want to Edgar Steele because they can. Anyway, let me see. All right, well, John Kaminsky just emailed you. Well, go ahead and post it. You know what I mean? Well, what happens is what John Kaminsky says isn't going to save anybody. Essentially, John Kaminsky was going ahead and urging people to write the Idaho Congress critters and the rest. Essentially, all that's going to do is just go ahead and get your name on a list and maybe round it up like Edgar Steele does when the time comes. You know what I mean? It's not going to go ahead and, go ahead and to do anything. Maybe John Kaminsky is on our side. I have no problem with that. You know, I don't really, you know, I used to go ahead and read a bunch of John Kaminsky. He used to be a liberal Whigger, or maybe he's a Jew, or a Polack, or whatever. But essentially, he figured out the Jews are up to no good, just like everybody else who's ever dealt with Jews. But My position is that Edgar Steele is the hero of the resistance, and therefore he does not need to explain to us anything. Because in explaining something to us, he goes ahead and explains something to Zog, and Zog can go ahead and use whatever he says against him. But what is done is done. What I don't much care for is Jim Royd Rage Retard Giles keeping on whining and pissing and moaning and going after Edgar Steele. It's an obsession with him. But the thing about it is that, yes, he is a Fed. He's just like listening to Foghorn Leghorn, and I listened to him a little while, but hearing the same idiocy over and over and over and over and over again gets sort of tiresome. It gets to where I've only listened to about a couple shows afterwards. Oh, by the way, I was told that from now on I will not be referred to by name. I will be called the boy with the speech impediment. And folks, let me say I do have a speech impediment. So I went ahead and broke out for my teeth, and I still am not altogether used to speaking this way. I had another one of my teeth go ahead and chip, you know, this morning here. You know, what few I have left on my top jaw. But then again, such is life. Such is the way things are. In any case, this Larry Fairfax probably came across Edgar Steele's stash of silver. And folks, I went ahead and I bought me some silver, bought about 1,000 ounces of it, well, $5. And the fact of the matter is, where do you keep it? And the answer is, I don't know. If you're buying silver, well, you don't dare leave it in a safe deposit box in the bank, because Zog, the IRS, or whatever may get it. So then you take it home. Then what do you do with it? There are places you can go ahead and bury it, and there are sort of tricks you can go ahead and do. And if anybody has any questions, they can go ahead and if they're going to spend anything, spend $100 and go buy Kurt Saxon's CDs before he cooks off ends it. But essentially, he'd tell people to bury their guns and bury their silver and bury whatever in a farmyard because the urine from the cows goes ahead and knocks stuff off, and also you end up having all these freaking roofing nails, which goes ahead and screws up a metal detector. But, you know, which is a fairly good idea, or you can go ahead and bury it somewhere where only you know where it is. But the fact of the matter is that having that much silver essentially just bought the hillbilly hitman retard and Zogbot in to where here he is, going ahead and getting to run wild and stealing, you know, Edgar Steele's stash. Edgar Steele would have done far better if he'd have simply invested his money, you know, pretty well in, you know, in the movement, and going ahead and bringing out county chairman, you know, in order to go ahead and run for governor. What happens, all that silver did was get him in trouble. Now Zog's gone ahead and stolen the silver. And they'll say, well, we don't know anything about it. It must have happened while you were gone because your wife no longer lives in the house. Well, what happens is you end up having an FBI thief getting pretty rich from the silver. All you have to do is pocket it. What's that you're going to say about it? What's that you're going to go ahead and do? And you being an FTARS here, you can't sue the government. The government can do whatever the hell it wants to. 1976, hey, judges are absolutely immune. 1970, you know, Summers Sparkman. 1978, prosecutors are absolutely immune. 1984, pigs can lie on the stand in Briscoe versus LaHue. 1985, 1986, Clayton versus Abrahamson, you know, Abramson. Pigs can go ahead and bust down the wrong door. Hey, they're not held responsible regardless of what goes on. And today's Joop and Glob, they end up having this, you know, the story about this Whigger pig who went ahead and punched a nigger while he was handcuffed. And essentially, the nigger went ahead and threatened to sue, so, you know, essentially they gave him $5,000, told him not to sue. Well, hey, if a white man had been punched, it would have been no big deal. He wouldn't have had the charges dismissed. Hey, I had four teeth broken by pigs, and are they going to do anything about it? No. Now, later on, I hope to make pigs regret what happened on December 6th, 2005, breaking out my teeth, because I believe that the solution to police brutality is more brutality. And this time used against the police, this time used against the politicians, the bankers and the lawyers, to where you essentially torture them to death and you take away their money and you torture them till they confess and then you exterminate them. Because all they are is parasites. All they are is unsuccessful parasites who went ahead and did their best to destroy the white race. And their reward for their treason ought to be extermination. Do whatever the heck you want to them. They have no rights. They're worse than animals. Because even an animal won't do what pigs have done. Certainly not what they've done to Edgar Steele. Okay. So, I've gone ahead and covered this. And in this bowel movement of ours, I hear people wondering whether or not Edgar Steele is guilty. Well, folks, if you're in the resistance, put this out of your mind. Edgar Steele is innocent, even if he's not, because Edgar Steele is on our side. You absolutely go ahead and support Edgar Steele. And I'm going to get to Trevor Glenn Miller, and I'm going to go ahead and get to Clayton Korcob. But I'm going to go ahead and also cover what I call an iron resistance code of conduct. You know, back in the Korean War, let me see, I'm looking at this stuff here. Anyway, what I'm going ahead and looked here. Roy Ray's retard went ahead and uploaded all these 2009 shows. And let me tell you, by all means, go ahead and click them out here. I mean, I used to think that, you know, Jim Giles would be sort of like a white nationalist Dick Cavett. He ends up getting all these interviews. But what he got involved at in December 18th, 2009 was setting up and ambushing Fade the Butcher / Hunter Wallace, and some people know who else he is. And Korncob used to know who else he was, and he pretty well ridiculed poor old Fade pretty harshly. The thing about it is, old Fade ended up being far more of a man than Jim Giles. And a number of these other people are. Because Jim, sometimes Fade can be scared. Sometimes, he looks like a fat little Pillsbury doughboy, but sometimes old Fade can go ahead and show a set of nuts. And the thing about it is like I said, is that in our wonderful little bowel movement, we don't have an SS. Our followers are not SS. They're not even SA. Most of the time, they're not even Job Corps. But folks, I would go ahead, and while old Roy Rage Retard is posting his 2009 shows, I'd urge you folks to go ahead and download them. I went ahead and downloaded most of them. And what I'll do is I'll go ahead and save the HTML files. Because the thing about it is, the old Roy Rage Retard, he's not consistent. Tomorrow, he could go ahead and figure out that he hasn't got his water bill paid for the next month. He can go ahead and take them down. So, folks, save them while they can. Jim Giles did some fairly good interviews. He is a very good speaker, and I'll grant you that here. The problem I have with Jim Roy Rage Retard Giles, with Judas Giles, is you can't trust the worthless bastard. So, folks, if he's just downloaded them to Radio Free Mississippi, take them while they can, okay? Now, well, guest number 12, you're absolutely right. Go ahead, and everybody, hell, it wouldn't even bother me if you went ahead and crashed the old Roy Rage Retard's little Zogfall front site. Now, what happens is it's probably read your IP numbers, so you might use a proxy, you might not. But in any case, Roy Rage Retard did a fairly good job in 2009 and 2008. He took them down, and he might go ahead and take them down again. You never know. And folks, you know, in the rush, go ahead and download In the Rush here, real quick. Now what happens is I went ahead and essentially downloaded them while they are, but then again, Zog knows that, you know, I'm an evil asshole, racist, Christianity, Aryan Nations pastor, whatever. So I'm not really worried about them going ahead and reading my freaking IP number. But, folks, I mean, that's something you do sort of need to keep in mind. But in any case, if you end up being buddies or something with somebody, you can go ahead and exchange this thing via, you know, peer-to-peer network or networking or whatever. So, folks, go ahead and get Roy Rage Retard's, downloads while you can. Because the thing about it is that he wakes up, you know, he wakes up here with his little three-incher or four-incher or whatever, hard or soft. He's going to do whatever takes the mind of, you know, this mercurial little roid rage retard to do. Now, the thing about it is that I imagine that Zog has problems dealing with that guy's, you know, self-loving, self-worshipping, wigger nuttiness. So, essentially, you know, I gotta wonder. Let's say old Roid Rage Retard, when he was running and beloved by, Robert Friends and Eric Thompson, I think pretty well, it's just like, you know, just like my own brother who went ahead and betrayed his father. My father wasted time and money and food on my brother. Well, I think they're pretty well Robert Friends, who had the best web page ever, www.faem.com, for First Amendment Exercise Machine.com. And by the way, folks, I have a mirror of it on my site on White Nationalist. But folks, you better go ahead and download FAEM because the heretical 2 from my guy ends up getting some prison time. And they may not be able to go ahead and keep their webpage up. While you folks can, and while you're able to go ahead and see and read stuff, download what you can. I found out that the hard way because I ended up having people who used to have beautiful webpages in the early days of the Internet, and those webpages disappeared. So, folks, you need to go ahead and download what you can while you can. You know, this is a new thing. Anyway, getting on to an iron resistance code of conduct. When I was in the Army from 1981 to 1983, I was just a 2-year man, and that's all I intended to be, in a nuclear missile battalion for fire direction control for the Lance missile system. In basic, they were telling us about the Army code of conduct. And what it boiled down to is that you will not collaborate with the enemy. You'll show true faith and allegiance to your followers. And the reason of it was is that in Korea, a bunch of people, Americans, went ahead and got captured, and only one in 20 white Americans have any real leadership ability. So as a result, what the Chinese communists would do is when they go ahead and capture people, they'd segregate the officers, which was, you know, a given. But what they'd also do is that they'd go ahead and segregate the NCOs who had leadership ability and even the privates who had leadership ability, a sense of humor, an ability to go ahead and do well, and they were heavily guarded. And the rest were just sheep. And some of these people, some of these servicemen actually died because they didn't have somebody to tell them to get up, to wash their funky ass, to go ahead and take care of themselves, and to even get up and eat. And there was not a single escape from communist China or from North Korea during the Korean War. Well, part of that is that a white man would go ahead and stick out, certainly in China. And the Chinese would not dare hide anybody, you know, any white American. But part of it was, is that they went ahead and got segregated. So the Army went ahead and came up with a code of conduct and says, I'm an American fighting man. I will not go ahead and collaborate with the enemy in any way. And folks, what we need in this resistance of ours is an iron Resistance Code of Conduct. And essentially what I'm saying is I'll go ahead and download it, the Armed Forces Code of Conduct, and change it. Because, folks, if you're in the resistance, you had better be a resistance soldier, as opposed to a little Jew boy playing a revolution. Because that's the title of it. Separating the white resistance men from the bowel movement Jew boys. If you're just a wigger, you might as well be a Jew boy. If you're playing a revolution, you might as well be a Jew boy. Having what happens to Motor, that old Motor Mike Coomer here, I mean, shoot, I bet she would wake up here with a little pecker. But then again, she'd probably, I don't know if she'd not know what to do with it. I bet she'd probably know more of what to do with it than Hadding would. You know what I mean? Well, Mona Montgomery woke up with a 3-inch pecker. I think she'd know more about what to do with it than old Hadding ever would. You know what I mean? What happens is that for the first time ever, Mona wouldn't have to go ahead and pay. That's what she said about old Sydney, Sydney Steele. She sees me alive and fat, lovely, and why have to pay me tax? No, that's not Sydney Steele, Mona. That's you. You're telling on yourself. So like old Brian Wright was. the pisser's that manager. You're telling on yourself. Chances are I wouldn't be surprised if you were giving $20 to the beater, to the beater pool boy. And tell you, give him $20 and a brown paper bag. And, the beater says, well, what's that for? Put over your head? So I don't have to look at you? I mean, she is an ugly orc sow. And the answer is, by the way, Hadding and Motor are Jim Giles brain trust. And what's funny is that probably the most, even though she saluted an orc sow, she probably is Jim Giles brain trust here because she probably has more of a brain than Jim Giles. Now, what happens, she's deluded, but I would doubt that she probably is smarter than Jim Giles. The man doesn't seem to have a brain in his head other than a sort of muscle-bound brain, which runs his muscle-bound mouth. But, I would say that the brown paper bag is for the beater to put over his head while he's humping, while he's humping that, and you can go ahead and pretend that old Motor has a well-greased knothole. Or the cheese equivalent of a sheep or something here. Hey, beater boy, put the brown paper sack over your head here before you mount the motor. Okay? Think thoughts of $20 and how it's so much better than splinters, the greased knot hole, poor his sheep. But anyway, going on. There needs to be a resistance code of conduct. What says is I will not lie, I will not snitch, I will not believe or support Zog Babylon in any way, nor tolerate any regime criminals or treasonous Uyghurs who do. That's not what it boils down to. You do not tolerate traitors. You do not tolerate any regime criminals. You do not tolerate informants. You do not tolerate snitches. You do not tolerate anybody who does put up with snitches and traitors, be they Traitor Glenn Miller. If you're a friend of Traitor Glenn Miller, chances are you're a fool, but more likely you're a Zogbot, a criminal yourself. We do not tolerate anyone who snitches or supports Zog Babylon in any way, shape, or form. None. If you tolerate them, then you are a traitor. And what happens is that you suffer the fate of Zog. And Zog is going down. I don't need to go ahead and say, I don't need to go ahead and say anything different here. Now people say, well, how can you go ahead and not be rounded up? And the answer is, I may be rounded up tomorrow, but I'm not scared. I hate Zog. I hate anybody who supports Zog. I hate any traitor. So far be it for me to go ahead and beg for mercy when I have absolutely no intention of going ahead and giving any. I want an open war. I want there to be death and destruction at the very end. I only want 10 million white men. And not a Uyghur, not a Mamzer, not a Jew, not a Mud, not a Crud. But most importantly, not a wigger to be fired here. Because, folks, we don't have a Nick the problem. We don't have a Beaner problem. We really don't even have a Jew problem. Although, hell, Hal Covington pretty well said the same thing as I do, but, you know, he goes ahead and play, you know, wants to go ahead and blame the Jews more. I blame the Uyghurs most of all. Treasonous, evil, vicious, cowardly, Uyghur herd animals. Because they're the ones who went ahead and allowed the Jews to run wild, and once the Jews ran wild, they bought in, they went ahead and whipped up the uppity niggers and the Beaners to where, guess what, they get to live off the white man. I do believe we got a Uyghur problem. That's what I said. Uyghurs like, well, are like zombies, like I said, what, a week or so ago. You can't ration. You cannot reason with them. And one of my conversations, I end up calling this character a Uyghur, and he got all pissed off. Well, I don't have pagan clothes. Well, no. But you're still a Uyghur. You see, I'm a pastor, which means that I'm a people shepherd. And just like anybody else who goes ahead and looks at animals, you know what these people are like. You know a diseased animal. And the fact of the matter is, most Uyghurs are not really so much diseased, but rather typical. They're diseased, but they're all, the whole herd is diseased. And the fact of the matter is as a Uyghur, you're doing wrong. That's because you are going to go ahead and do. Well, anyway, you know, look, Roy Rage, okay, hold on. Hold on, folks. I need to go ahead and pod blank, you know, or not pod blank, but talk to you went ahead and kick me out, so I need to go ahead and log back in. Hold up, folks. Okay, folks, I'm back. What happens, pod blank, I'm sorry. I'm being pod blank because I do need to go ahead and get to old Craig Corncob. And I said that I would go ahead and discuss them, and I will go ahead and discuss them. But, folks, I mean, Roy Rage Retard declaring a jihad against me and Fade, don't really matter. Fade is just that boy in Alabama here who thinks he can bully. The fact of the matter is, I'm quite sure that Fade could go ahead and, just like me, get somebody to beat the living dog shit out of Roy Rage Retard. I've already had four people who wanted to go ahead, and they want me to tell them to go down to Mississippi and beat the dog shit out of Roy Rage Retard. And they probably would. But I told them not to bother. Let Roy Rage Retard run his mouth. Just like Trader Glenn Miller, because what happens is that Roy Rage Retard is so dumb, is that you know exactly where he is. I call him Judas Giles, J-E-W-D-A-S-S, J-I-L-E-S. Sometimes I call him Triple R for Roy Rage Retard. In fact, you know, like I went ahead and explained to him, is that I can find me a champion to beat the dog shit out of you. Not that I'm scared of you. I mean, you're not the pimple. You're not a pimple on the mangina of a, you know, of a 6'5", 300-pound, total psychotic named Martin Burke, who, him and me got into a little tussle, you know, on August 16, 2006. And, essentially, I went ahead and gave back as good as I got. Well, nearly as good as I got. I was really hurting. You know, as a result of a little tussle there, and that night I couldn't sleep more than 20 minutes at a time, Roy, on my back, because, oh, I was sore from all these bruises, from the scrape here. I mean, when you have a 6'5", 300-pound freaking maniac, you know, essentially assault, you know, charging you, you know, and he goes ahead and he lands sort of on top of you, and you're sort of landing on this hard cement floor. It hurts. You know, it wasn't fun, but, you know, hey, you know, as I remember, I was the one who was peeled off of old, Martin Burke. So I guess I ended up getting the upper hand at the end. I mean, I really don't remember. I sort of blanked out because I was fighting for my life to keep that bastard from clawing my eyes out. And pretty well Ralph told us that Martin Burke was sore sore for about a week or so. I ended up, you know, he had the softest arms of any man I ever seen. You know, for a bully, it's soft, you know, sort of like fat female arms. And from what I gather, there were blue marks from my fingertips all over from his elbow to his shoulder. You know, where I was super flat at keeping that bastard from clawing my eyes out. So from what I gather, he was racked up for at least around the arms and shoulders for a week or two himself. He never did want a rematch. So, he tried to go ahead and act intimidating, and I just keep an eye on him, and wouldn't say nothing, I just keep an eye on him, and essentially he'd just go ahead and look at me here and act like he was tough, but, you know, shit, I didn't pay no attention to him. The same way with Roy Graves retard, it's just that, you know, he's not really a pimple on the mangina of Martin Burke. And there's a thing in Occidental Descent here where my friend went ahead and did look, you know. On August 2nd, 2007, most people think that Martin Burke was a total pussy. What happens is that he went ahead and put 10, 15 fractures on the skull of this staffer who told him they could drop his freaking Camille act. He wasn't fooling nobody. He wasn't going to go across the Ghoulman. He lost his temper and nearly killed the staffer. Screwed him up. They end up having to hold a special function here. And the guy was sort of stern, but the guy was sort of fair. And essentially, he's one of the few workers at Nutoff. I really don't have any personal animals against him, so I'll go ahead and say his name. His name was Greg Reynolds. You know what I mean? Now, maybe he went ahead and treated other people badly or something like that, but from my gear, he didn't. He was actually somewhat professional. He'd act a little bit faggy, and that sort of annoyed me, but, you know, he didn't go ahead and treat me unfairly. And he was actually an SA 2 or 3, and he was in charge of the ward, and he treated me fairly. But these other bastards here, like, I don't remember their names. I need to go ahead and look at the books or my diaries and print some of these to go ahead and show that they treat people like shit at the nut house. They treat people like shit at the prison. These prison guards, these nut house workers, most of them need to die. Of course, you know, what happens is that in the case of Greg Reynolds, I don't really bury any animus here. So if some of you want to go ahead and spare him, well, hey, that's fine with me. But I'm not going to go ahead and really lift the finger. But, you know, I mean, what I had to laugh about is this nigger witch doctor, Alicia Thompson, went ahead and gave me an intolerable fracture, said I provoked Martin Burke. Well, I was wondering. Did old Greg Reynolds provoke Martin Burke? Answer, not really. You know, all Martin Burke got was, you know, he got, what he did is that for once they went ahead and strapped that bastard down. They strapped that bastard down after he damn near killed Greg Reynolds. They didn't do that with him, but they went ahead and made him stay in his room. And then they moved us all back to our various wards, away from the good behavior ward of B5. I got sent back to B11 like I wanted to be. And Burke and his bitch, Tom Tanner, who I called Marty Dahmer and Tommy Dahmer, they went back to B7. And I guess B10 was a more quiet place after that, or B5. It was called B5 at the time. He was on the second floor of Biggs. Big old stone dungeon. What that nut house is. And I need to go ahead and take some pictures. I took some pictures of it when I went up there to run for office on March 30th, you know, as a free man. And a lot of the nut house workers, one of them looked at me as if he, you know, I'd come back from the dead. I said, well, hey, I was innocent of it, and I'm back to this with my friends. And this guy was a pretty nice guy here. There's this evil bitch named Carol Woolrich who causes lots of trouble for nuts here. I mean, that's the sort of bitch why I'd love to see skinned. She goes ahead and works with this, these other bitches, and they totally screw up the nut wards here and get them all, you know, get them all pissed off to where they want to go ahead and beat the crap out of staff. And then you end up having an incidence of violence, you know, because these nuts don't like this sort of thing. Now, what happens is that you have more rights than digs because the nuts, being extremely violent, beat the crap out of staff, and as a result, the staff goes ahead and figures out and say, hey, don't provoke the nuts. Because as a staffer, and even as an inmate, you can be killed at that nut house quite easily by these extremely violent, mentally ill nuts here. So, folks, Jim Roy Ray's retard child, he'll scare me one damn bit. I deliberately went ahead and provoked the bastard. Here he is yelling and screaming at me as if I'm going to be intimidated, you know, by him like Fade the Butcher was. No, I'm not going to intimidate one damn bit here. Scream and holler, you idiot. I don't care. I want you to go ahead and scream about breaking the neck of some lawyer and show what an evil, what a stupid, what a malicious idiot bully you are. And from what I gather, my name is not ever going to be mentioned. Well, that's the same as VNNF. That's the same way as, you know, Sperm Front. I am not mentioned. And pretty well, Roy Rage Retard, I think he gets his, I think he's getting his money from the Jews. And essentially, he's doing the same thing as marching orders from the ADL. The only time they went ahead and spelled my name right was on May 10th, 2005, when I was arrested for statutory sodomy. In the latest one, my name is spelled wrong, even though I'm named as a leader of a faction of the Aryan Nations. The fact of the matter is I'm the actual only pastor here. That's one thing that gets me here, is that I don't think Larry Fairfax is even an Aryan Nations informant, like they say. Essentially, Gerald O'Hibernigger Wigger O'Brien is essentially, he ends up going ahead maybe getting $100 from the ADL and the FPLC, and he goes ahead and he prints the literature and he puts it on the niggers and wiggers and beaners yards, and then the ADL and the FPLC says, see, you need us, Jews. You need us to go ahead and save us from a 30-year-old, there's thereabouts, Quigger with a swastika tattooed on his forehead. Paul Bullitt, I've heard a number of things about him, and I don't think he had anything to do with it because he ran out of money. From what I hear, in the last couple of months, he's been sent back to Chillicothe, Ohio. So I don't think he had anything to do with this informant. And I don't think old, Gerald O'Hibernigger Wigger Bryan had anything to do with it. And I know I certainly didn't have anything to do with Larry Fairfax. So essentially, claiming that he's just an Aryan Nations informant, total bullshit. Total bullshit dreamed up by Zog. He's just a criminal. He's just a snitch. He's just a thief claiming to be Aryan Nations, and he's not. You know what I mean? And I don't think he's with old Gerald O'Hibernigger Wigger O'Brien. I don't think he's with, you know, Paul Mullett. He's just a liar and a thief. So, hey, you know, look, don't believe a damn thing informants tell you. But then again, under the Resistance Code of Conduct, you won't believe any Zogwings. You won't believe any Zogmuts. You won't believe what Jim Giles says. You'll just go ahead and download his programs because some of them are informative. I hung on everything he went ahead and told with Bill Lind, who, you know, I actually do respect, talking about third and fourth generation warfare. And Bill Lind was trying to go ahead and, you know, explain to that dim bulb, Roy Rage Retard, about what fourth generation warfare is and the nature of AI, you know, the Jew political action committees. By all means, go ahead and download while you can, Roy Rage Retard's, files here. Because he is very good at interviewing people. what happens is that none of what he said seemed to have made any impact here because old Roid Rage Retard essentially is just like Harold Covington says about a lot of these Southerners. Southern fried shithead with pork fat between the ears. That's what Roid Rage Retard is. Don't take the idiot seriously. There's not, you know. I mean, he reminds me more of a parrot who just goes ahead and repeats what he ends up hearing. He's sort of like a five-year-old nigger. Five-year-old nigger is far more valuable than a white kid most of the time. Even a white little girl. Little nigger can go ahead and spout off and do that like a little Gary Coleman nigger. But essentially when it comes down to it, there's not much there. That's what Thomas Jefferson noticed. Now, he should know. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up going ahead and getting a little bit of Sally Hemings, you know. You know, for all this talk about Thomas Jefferson, he was a politician, a very good one. You know, he certainly knew how to go ahead and screw over John Adams. Not that John Adams didn't deserve it. No, not that the Federalists didn't deserve it. It's a pity, though, he wasn't more like Andrew Jackson. If you had a combination of between Thomas Jefferson and Andrew Jackson, essentially the Supreme Court would have never gotten beyond being a small little court system. There would have been none of this crap about them declaring what is constitutional and what is not constitutional, like they do now. Folks, I've gone ahead and read quite a bit of law. In fact, the matter is, what it boils down to is the government can do whatever the hell it wants to. But the Supreme Court can go ahead and declare unconstitutional whatever the president and whatever the Congress says. And they were given no such power by the Constitution. It's just that that was what they were allowed. It was a blank check. Article 3 of the Constitution was nothing more than a blank check, which John Marshall went ahead and cashed. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and go to Trader Glenn Miller and the retarded nest of rats. Essentially, Trader Glenn Miller is going ahead and demanding more money. He went ahead and asked for no money for his campaign, but now what he's trying to do is he's trying to go ahead and pay $2,100 or $3,500 for a lawyer to go ahead and take his case against this FCC communication that, no, he has a bona fide, you know, he's not a bona fide candidate. And I think it's altogether put on. It's altogether a tease. Because thanks to Trader Glenn Miller, I am not allowed to run as a political candidate, as an open white man. And Trader Glenn Miller, I'm convinced, deliberately did that. So regardless, Trader Glenn Miller, whether he wins or loses this little precious lawsuit, it didn't really matter. An open white man cannot run for open political office anymore. Well, folks, I don't worry about that because as I look at it, if you're not going to go ahead and hold honest, free, fair elections, those elections don't mean nothing. And therefore, I'm not bound by them. I'm not bound to pay taxes if I'm not represented, if I'm not allowed to be represented. Essentially, you've gone ahead and declared war on the white man. You said the white man is nothing more than a beast of burden to support thieving wiggers, to support niggers and Jews and mamzers. Essentially, Zog has declared war upon its own people. So what is the purpose of this regime? And the answer of it is, it's nothing more than parasitism. It's nothing more than theft. Well, the guest number 4 says it's the anti-federalist. And yes, it was. My hero, Patrick Henry, he hated the constipation. If you go ahead and read the articles of the Virginia Ratifying Convention, the biggest harp that he had is that, guess what? The militia was taken out of the hands of the people in the states and given to the federal government. And that's what people used to, piss and moan, these militia generals, these suburban militia generals who just had to have a nigger or female Jew second command. I told them, hey, there's no such thing as a constitutional militia because guess what? The state didn't set you up. And you're not paid for it by the federal government. Now, some of these people, like Red Mike Vanderkuyt, were. The fact of the matter is, there is no such thing as a constitutional militia. So you don't need to look down on us so-called racists because we don't worship your constipation and bill of goods. And the other night, here comes old Clayton Douglas, and I'd stick up for him against this guy named Sword Brethren, who, you know, I have my differences with him. I stuck up for Clayton Douglas. Was Clayton Douglas still? Oh, heck. You've been fucking babbling enough. Wah, 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 wah. Well, hey, asshole. I went ahead and defended you. But on the other hand, you have news of Edgar Steele. He goes ahead and he reads the stuff by John Kaminsky. He acted like he got a scoop on it. Then later, here comes Clayton Douglas. He says he's going to go ahead and get the hell, you know, he's mad at all his Christian identity because we haven't given him any money. Well, Clayton Douglas, you're just nothing more than a patriot. And he supports the Constitution and the Bill of Goods. And he's going to have the Hell's Angels beat the shit out of us because we're racist. I'm looking, you idiot. You freaking idiot. What happens to the Hell's Angels? They don't have any nigger members. They're at war with the Mongols, which is a beater motorcycle gang. Let's go ahead and look at Gangland. Why in the world would the Hell's Angels beat up Christian Identity because they're racist? The fact of the matter is that there is some overlap between Christian Identity and white motorcycle gangs. Not perfect, but there is some overlap. So, you know, look, Clayton, you ass clown. You freaking ass clown. The Hell's Angels ain't going to go ahead and beat us out because, you know, it's Christian Identity, people are racist here. He's yapping about how he's going to talk at the Aryan Nations Congress, and they weren't going to like what we said because he was against racism. He was for the constipation, the Bill of Goods. Well, dumbass, if you went ahead and said that stupid shit, you'd probably get your ass whipped by these people. You were, you know, insulting as a guest here. And essentially, Clayton Douglas came across as an ass clown. And he was. What happens is I went over to Stumble In. I went over to Christian Nationalist, my own forum, and found out that my friend John Britton had already gone ahead and posted the Kaminsky letter. I see the Ashkenazi activist, you know, who's a lender, VNNF tard, affiliated with Trader Glenn Miller, has already, you know, finally posted. This Zarbots don't want to go ahead and support Edgar Steele. They want to go ahead and declare whether he's guilty or not. And while they may go ahead and kick out Hadding, the fact of the matter is that they do not support the resistance soldiers. Sure, well, they are Jew boys. So Trader Glenn Miller is making a big deal about his pathetic run for office, asking idiots to send him money. Why? He got plenty of money from the petty cash drawer of the Department of Zogland Insecurity. What does he need Whigger money for? What does he need Geezergeld? What does he need Whigger's money? And the answer of it is that he's Zogbotting. He's spying on you idiots. He has plenty enough money. He acts like he was going to go ahead and get elected or not, judging by how many campaign ads he did. Well, he did a whole bunch of campaign ads as a write-in candidate. He got 23 votes. I was looking at old Fred on Four Fags Thebes. It's what people are making fun of him, and Trader Glenn Miller, he's altogether oblivious of it, and he still is. I think the senile old rat, I think the old rat has turned senile. I think it's now untickled his liver to where his liver spots are growing huger and huger and huger. I think it's gone ahead and tickled his little angle of mestizo brain. So he's not even able to figure he is. And neither is Wiggerswell, neither is Hanning, and neither is biological racist over on Fade's forum. Now what happens, Fade actually does his service. He ends up having a bunch of intellectuals, and they go on and on and on, and I usually sometimes read some of their stupid crap. But folks, what happens is that our survival, white survival, is not a matter of something legal that's going to be done. It's never legal to overthrow Zog. it's never legal to go ahead and burn down Uyghur cities. It's never legal to go ahead and indulge in a racial holy war until you are in power, and because of the fact you're in power and you're able to go ahead and exterminate the Zoghling Uyghurs and Mamzers and Jews and the rest, you are the ones who determine what the law is. Folks, survival is its own reward. If you don't believe in survival, if you believe in pulling your punches, if you believe in forgiving traitors and criminals or something like that, you're not going to make it. You are not going to make it. Survival is its own reward, and you have to do whatever it takes in order to survive. So, yes, survival, when you're fighting a war for your own survival, every end justifies the means. Every end justifies surviving. And if you don't want to survive, you will die. If you don't understand that, you're not a resistance soldier. You're just a little Jew boy. You're just a little pussy playing a revolution. How dare you put your hand to that plow until you've gone ahead and plowed that entire field and that entire furrow? You can't go ahead and just do a little and then look for somebody else to do it for you. It's not able to be done. When Traitor Glenn Miller, you're a traitor. You always were. And anyone who's around you is a traitor as well. The Iron Code, Resistance Code of Conduct. I will not lie. I will not snitch. I will not believe or support anything that Zog Babylon in any way, shape, or form says or does. And I will not tolerate any regime criminal or Uyghur who supports Zog. I will not lie, snitch, or believe, support Zog Babylon in any way, nor tolerate any regime criminal or treasonous Uyghur who does. I need to go ahead and work with that. I need to go ahead and put does. But hey, I'll start. I'll fix it tomorrow. Now, I want to go ahead, and I made fun of Corn Cob. What happens is Corn Cob, I met Corn Cob, well, Craig Cob. I call him Corn Cob. What happens, I don't really know what to make of Corn Cob. What happens, he starts out as a DNNF tard, and me and my friend John Britton go ahead and look at old Corn Cob. And Corn Cob is hilarious. He is a devout creatard. He believes the stupid creatard shit. You know what I mean? What happens to me and John, we're suckers for bravery and for courage. And Corn Cob does have courage. Don't have too much sense. That's why I call him Corn Cob. He's rough as a cob on them Jews. And, you know, he goes ahead and he looks like a total goofhead. He looks like a total hippie goofhead. He shows up. He opens his mouth and all these little Jews say, "Danger, Swirlkakis, in danger." And they run off. It's hilarious. Now, the late Kurt Maynard sort of thought that Craig Cobb and his Pod Blank were all together as Zog false front, because he did question, what is Corn Cob doing in Estonia, where there are laws about being racist? What is Corn Cob doing in Canada, where there are laws against being racist? Why ain't he where he belongs? And he was born and raised in St. Joseph, Missouri. And I met him, along with Alex Flinder, in May of 2004. At the anti-Brown rally in Topeka, Kansas, organized by Billy Roper. And Corn Cob, even then, you know, he didn't have long hair. We looked like a total goofball. And I sort of thought when he called himself Chain, that meant that he was a chain smoker. But what happens is Corn Cob, essentially, you know, looked like a goofhead then, and he had a brand new little bitty, one of these little tiny things here, and I had bought my big old battery VHS camcorder, you know, which we bought to go ahead and record the grandkids, and I had plenty of tapes for it, but the battery, you know, the battery, just like all these batteries, didn't have a whole awful lot of power. So I went ahead and had Roxy record, you know, the 35 minutes or so, you know, when we were going there, when we were coming back, the 35 minutes there, and then when this European film crew went ahead and interviewed Pastor Butler, and then the battery died. So I never got to record Alex Flinder being scared shitless by this little dark Swiss guy who he ended up thinking was a Jew, and, you know Alex Flinder's a total pussy. The corn cob actually went ahead and recorded it, but on this little thing here, all it was more, it really wasn't like movie pictures. What it was like a series of snapshots. And he made old Alex Flinder look wonderful and all this other good shit. You know, essentially Alex Flinder's not much of a speaker. He had seven double-sided pages. He'd read from it, and then he'd scream about Jews apropos of nothing. He sounded like somebody reading from a teleprompter and then going ahead and screaming about Jews. And I have no problem about, you know, Jews. I hate Jews. This is Paul Satan, but essentially I've never seen where people thought that Alex Flinder was much of a speaker. And I do need to go ahead and dig up. You know, I went ahead and made some CDs of it here, but they disappeared somewhere. And I need to go ahead and look at my, get one look at one of my hard drives and essentially post it to YouTube, because it will be historically interesting here. Especially you end up having the helicopters, you know, helicopters following us here. And what's funny at these rallies is that the pigs were far more scared of less than around 20 white nationalists than they were 400 niggers and beaners and Jews and the rest screaming. And the answer of it is the pigs recognize that when the white man gets tired of supporting them and Zog and the rest, and things start falling apart, like they will, like there will be chaos, and there will be chaos, they recognize that out of that chaos, if there is any order restored, the pigs will be exterminated to the very last squeal. If there is no restoration of order, the pigs will be exterminated. So they go ahead and they look at us whites, and they're scared shitless. You know what I mean? So going on, what happens is that about corn cob, why in the world is corn cob outside, you know, St. Joseph's? And what I've heard is that supposedly he went ahead and threatened the judge or something here. I don't know. I tend to doubt it. Why is he not in St. Joseph, Missouri? And the answer, I don't know. But why is he in Estonia? He went over there, and from what I gather, he disrupted a 50 Cent concert here. There's this nigger named 50 Cent. You know, I found out that at the nut house here, and the niggers love him. You know, he does this stupid rap, and what happens is we get two tapes, two VHS tapes or a DVD, and at least one of them had nigger shit in it. Of the two tapes we got. And the niggers loved watching the nigger shit. And they had, what, this thing about 50 Cent called Get Rich or Die Trying or something like that. And I looked at it and, oh my God, it was horrific here. No wonder niggers are screwed up. It's about this nigger who goes ahead and starts, you know, doing nigger shit like robbing and raping and all this sort of shit. And the nigger means well, but, you know, he's forced into a life of crime is what they end up saying. And I went ahead and asked this nigger, I had a little bit, you know, more respect for it. I said, is it really that bad? And he says, it's often worse. Now, this nigger is from St. Louis. Hey, it's one hell of a thing to be a nigger. Good Lord. You know, and no wonder niggers got a bad thing. They got pubic hair, they got pubic hair on top of their head. No, but what happens, they're naturally violent animals. And pretty well this 50 Cent movie came in. Now, for my guy, he was a rapper, and he was doing some rap stuff while he was doing it, and the idea of getting rich was to become a get-rich-quick rapper. Well, what happens is that, hey, not every nigger can get rich and become another 50 Cent, but Corn Cob went ahead and supposedly disrupted a 50 Cent concert, and he came to the attention of the authorities. So from what I gather, he got banned from Estonia where he was living, and Latvia and Riga and, Estonia and the rest, and Finland and Sweden. He got sent back, deported, and he has to be sent back to Canada. Why in the world would you want to go ahead and be sent back to Canada? And the answer is, Corncob wants to go ahead and be sent back to Canada. And I'm wondering why. And there's a lot of people who thought he was just a Zog false son, because guess what? There's a law against calling people niggers and dirty Jews in Canada. Why would Corncob want to be there? So I have my questions. And I'm going to go ahead and read the official thing. From what I gather, I don't know. I get the feeling is that essentially it's turned loose at the Montana border. I guess the Canadians sort of thought that he belonged in Montana of any place, and they went ahead and turned him loose, and supposedly he walked 30 miles to get to Kalispell where April Gady lives. And I don't know if April Gady took him in or not. What happens, Corncob and April Gady has decided to go ahead and follow Harold Covington. So I don't know why in the world. He thought he'd go ahead and get friends from April Gady. I don't know if he has or not. But what happens is Thursday, white national activist Craig Kopp escapes Canada. Look, a character like Corncob isn't going to escape shit. What happens is he's not exactly like a moose. He's not going to escape a cage. Essentially what happens is Flygary is rounded up and deported. Without his, he's bitching by, he's deported without his computers and the rest of the stuff, and usually the RCMP don't really give a shit. In fact, Craig Cobb ought to be grateful here that he wasn't murdered like one of Covington's supporters. I think his name was Jeff Hughes. Okay? And what he does, he goes ahead and calls him Rounder, i.e. Trader Glenn Miller. So, this guy says is that anti-racist, on June 18th, anti-racist sources began reporting that longtime white nationalist activist Craig Cobb had been arrested in Vancouver, B.C. Several days later, on June 22nd, a different anti-racist source reported that Cobb had been released. This was discussed on VNNF Forum as well, Trader Glenn Miller, News Network, Greater Free Range Target Corral. The information was never corroborated by any official Canadian sources, although at the same time, Cobb's Podblank video hosting site went offline with no firm predictions to when its return to service. Cobb was previously the victim of anti-racist terrorism when he was fired from his job in Vancouver on April 23rd in response to anti-racist pressure. Now, Missouri U.S. Senate write-in candidate Glenn Miller reports that Craig Cobb has apparently resurfaced in Kalispell, Montana. Miller posted the following. But since Shane's supposed to remove the location and phone number for security reasons, and frankly, a lot of people are thinking that he's hiding up, he's hiding in a garage or something like that. Craig phoned me yesterday and left a message that he had just walked 30 miles through the mountains out of Canada to Montana and was staying at a shelter there. He said the Canadian cops had confiscated 3 computers and 2 cameras from him. Anyway, I got on my computer this morning after I checked my phone message and Googled a bit, came up with their phone number, had Craig on the phone in a couple minutes. We had a fairly long chat, and he said his health is good. Craig says he's pretty sure he just landed a job as a sword dropper there in Montana. I asked if he needed me to send him any money, and he said no. If anyone wants to phone him, just PM at me, and I provide the phone number that way. Craig gave me permission. No word on whether or not Cobb is linked up with April Gady, who was a prominent white patriot in Kalispell. Gady and other white patriots have been repeatedly targeted by a noisy anti-racist contingent in the local area. So, this guy, I call him Ashkenazi activist because essentially he's just a Trader Glenn Miller and Alex Linder shill. But the fact of the matter is, Podblank is still offline. And he goes ahead and he sent an email to a Podblank member, tell them to go ahead and bitch to their ISP, Single Hop Inc. of Chicago, Illinois, and bitch about being, kept off here. And I'm altogether against censorship. But people, if you think that he's hooking up with April Gady is a Covington supporter. And Covington and Trader Glenn Miller and Alex Slender and the rest do not mix? I doubt that April Gady is, you know, probably wishing that old corn cob would go somewhere else. You know what I mean? Okay. I'm looking at the comments or something like that. So do I know what April Gady is doing? The answer is I don't. But on the other hand, from what I gather, he was released. And maybe Corn Cob is actually a Zog false front. I don't know. But I tend to doubt that April Gady and Corn Cob are big buddies because April Gady supports Covington. If you're Trader Glenn Miller, and you're Alex Linder, you don't like much care for Covington much more than you like me. You might like him a little bit more, but not by much. So, I'm looking at all this sort of thing. Jeff Hughes, unindicted murderer Terry Wilson of the RCMP sees in a search of my unserviced garage located behind in the 30-some story Plaza Loudmark Mark Hotel on Robson Street. Where the hell does Corn Cob get, is able to go ahead and live in a Plaza Landmark Hotel? Corn Cob, from what I gather, never had a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. So where in the world does he go ahead and get such fancy digs? Where does he get his MacBook, two other laptops, my primary religious text, i.e. nature's secular religion, by Benny Buttsock Klassen. Four cameras, a large LED spotlight, a 2,250-year-old Swazi coin from long-extinct Tokarian, Niemce, or Kushan something, the English language transcript of my Estonian trial, my U.S. passport, and a legal woolly mammoth tuff in which I, stayed in one video. I planned to carve swastikas as they'd been found on 10,000-year-old woolly mammoth tusks in Ukraine. I suggested in the video I might present one of the carvings to Jeff Shoup and the NSM for their highly public street work against Mexican invaders. Folks, where does Corn Cob get the money to stay at a motel, at a ritzy hotel? What happens is that the Covington supporter, Jeff Hughes, got murdered. Corn Cob, all he does is get deported. And what I smell is I smell setup, because guess what? The Zog went ahead and provided the cameras and the computers and the expensive digs in Vancouver. They can go ahead and provide more for old Corn Cob. There's plenty of money for computers and the rest. You would think that if Jeff Hughes got murdered, that they'd do the same thing to Corn Cob. They could say the Corn Cob, tried to go ahead and do whatever. But folks, I smell a rat with Corn Cob. I really do. During interrogation, I said five words, i.e., I have nothing to say. Do Wilson and the rest of the pigs. And they were wrongfully influenced and controlling provincial level and municipal level officials in multiple provinces. There are 600,000 ethnic Chinese in metropolitan Vancouver and 5,000 ethnic East Indians. Whites are a factual numerical minority. Well, hey, Robert Friends used to say that Vancouver is called Hongcouver. So what are you doing over there, Corn Cob? Why are you not in St. Joseph? And if you can't stay in St. Joseph, there's plenty of room in Kansas. Or Montana for that reason. Why didn't you just go ahead and go to Montana in the first place? Why did you have to go to Estonia? Why did you have to go to Vancouver? Where they don't like racists. And Corn Cob has nothing to say about that. Corn Cob has nothing to say about that at all. What can Corn Cob say? So, he goes on about G20 and all sorts of stuff. All right. I will most probably take a lesson from terrible Tommy Metzger and Glenn Miller and run for Congress from Northwestern Montana District in Internet door-to-door campaign 2012, by which time unemployment will surely reach Weimar 35% levels. He's going to run on this. He's going to run on that. He goes on, talks about the rest of the stuff, and he wants to thank this Montana militiaman as Jesse James' descended wife who picked me up 60 miles into my walk just outside of Olney, Montana. There's no public transport up there. My knee and foot were swollen. And I'd like to thank people for being nice to Corn Cob. You see, Corn Cob actually has some sort of style. Even though I think he's totally screwed up in the head, I wonder whether or not he's a Zogbot. So, I mean, if you want to go ahead and get pod blank and you're worried about Corn Cob, that's fine. But the thing about it is I don't really trust Corn Cob. You know, there's a number of things that you know, the question of it are, is where did Corn Cob get the money? Anyway, let's see here. I'm looking at this sort of thing. Well, he's thanking April Gady and her husband, Mark Harrington. Well, maybe April was nice to him. I don't know. I'm looking at this stuff. Okay. Somebody brought up the Alien Nations blog, and I'll go ahead and look and see what old Gerald O'Hiber, Nigger O'Wigger has to say or what Paul Mullet has to say. The chances are it's not going to make too much sense. But it looks like, you know, April Gady was kind enough to him here. Maybe April was a lot kinder than what Corn Cob deserved. In any case, people are asking me my opinion of Corn Cob. Well, it looks like April Gady did take him in or was nice to him or at least polite to him or whatever. You know, and if April Gady and Harold Covington have no problem with Corn Cob, I guess I don't have any. But the thing about it is that usually Corn Cob is not friendly to Chris Sandan because he's a total creatard. And not that it really matters. But I got to wonder, where does Corn Cob get the money for all this computer stuff? For all these here little trinkets to go ahead and spend, you know, to pretty well live in expensive digs in a hotel. I mean, it's not exactly like when I went ahead and stayed at the Westwood when I visited Fulton, and it was pretty well a straight $35 tax because I told them I was spent, you know, I was visiting the Nut House. So I didn't have to pay the tax, and, you know, the Asian owner would go ahead and eat it. I mean, I don't imagine this motel, you know, it had wireless internet. You know, not the greatest internet, but wireless, quasi-broadband internet. Even at $35 a night, I couldn't have gone ahead and stayed there a month or so, but here's Corn Cob staying months and months and months at a far more expensive place. So where does Corn Cob get the money for that? I don't know, except maybe if it's from the petty cash drawer of the Department of Zogland Insecurity. Well, now he's in an unserviced garage. Where do you get the money to stay at a hotel in Canada, in Vancouver? Where do you go ahead and get all the money for all these computers, Macs and stuff like that? Folks, I'm able to go ahead and afford a Toshiba. I can go ahead and afford to buy a Toshiba every year. And maybe I could go ahead and afford to buy a Mac. But I certainly can't afford to stay even in a motel, much less an expensive hotel in Canada. How come Corn Cob is able to do that? I went ahead and looked at Corn Cob, and I don't see Corn Cob bringing in as an investment advisor millions and, you know, thousands or even hundreds of dollars, much less thousands or millions. So who's supporting Corn Cob's former lifestyle? Who's supporting him in Estonia? Who's supporting him in Vancouver? Could it be Zog, like Church Way would say. Could it be Zog? I don't know. I think it could be Zog. Now, Corn Cob, big buddies with Trader Glenn Miller. Big buddies with Trader Glenn Miller and VNNF. Even though he got banned, he's loved there. And according to what the great, you know, what the late Kurt Maynard said, is that Pod Blank videos really don't play any place other than VNNF, which is another Department of Zogland and, you know, insecurity financed operation. So, where does he go ahead and get the money for this stuff? Answer? I don't know. I would say the Occam's Razor applies. And that Corn Cob is accepting Zog bucks. Now, I went ahead and said that I didn't think April Gady would go ahead and support Corn Cob, and I go ahead and read. And it looks like I was wrong. But, folks, I really think Corn Cob is essentially a Zog bot. You see, there is no sense in hatred of Christian Identity unless you are a Zogbot. Christian Identity and Zog are enemies. They're not compatible. Creatards? Hey, Creatards? They're a made-up religion made by a Jew. Creatards? Zogbots? Hey, no big deal. They're perfectly acceptable. They're perfectly able to work together, and so I think they do. Folks, Corn Cob, where do you get the money for all this stuff? Where do you get the money to go ahead and spend, you know, time in Vancouver? Why in the world couldn't this stuff been done in St. Joseph, Missouri? Just as, you know, just as I'm able to go ahead and run for $143 for 3 years, whitenationalist.org. Just like I'm able, when I get around to it, to run at my Aryan Nation's site here, and I do hope to have a Christian Identity News Network. That was one of the reasons I didn't want to go ahead and jump on Corn Cob, because I was hoping to use his expertise, but the thing about it is you can't rely on Corn Cob. Corn Cob's a total nutcase. Just like all creatards are. You know what I mean? Now, there's some creatards I can go ahead and stand, and Corn Cob, I guess I can stand his nuttiness and a little bit of stuff, but hey, I wonder about Corn Cob. Mike Mazzone ended up nearly being banned by Linder for saying something in spring of 2005 against this Judge Lefkow. And James Von Brunn, well, hey, I wonder why James Von Brunn was even dealing with creatards. He's a good friend of John Britton. And he was polite to me. We exchanged emails. I mean, if he'd gone ahead and expressed an interest in being Christian Identity, I'd have ordained him in a second, Jimmy Von Brunn. And by the way, I might go ahead and ordain John Paul Franklin to be my Bishop of Potosi before he gets executed by Mozog. You know what I mean? The late last Attorney General, old Chris Coster, who will not answer my lawsuit against Obongo, my election lawsuits. Even though they've been served, he won't go ahead and obey the law. Well, hey, he's talking about, you know, setting execution date for Joe Paul Franklin. I forget his name here. You know, over at Potosi, the guy named after Hunter. Joe Paul Franklin, I think it was. Or, but, you know, I'm tired. I can't always get to remember stuff as well as I need to. I'm just pretty well running in my mouth. But unlike Jim Giles, I sort of need to have a bit of brain cells to go ahead and talk. In any case, I'm going to cover Trader Glenn Miller. I covered Roy Ray's retard. I covered Corn Cob here. The thing about corn cob is that there is a number of questions, and none of them add up other than where does he get the money? Follow the money. I was telling about Clayton Douglas and the rest here. All these shortwave shows were paid for by selling idiot women wheat berries, and I went ahead and explained what wheat berries were. Essentially, all it was, you know, about half a bushel of wheat, which would sell at a feed store for $5 a bushel. You go ahead and buy it in a vacuum-sealed plastic bucket for $50, you can get about half a bushel of wheat. You end up paying, essentially 20 times what it costs. And that's how Republic Radio and the rest are set up. So it's either a Patriot operation or it's a dog fall funding for them. They sell colloidal silver or wheat berries. And they have plenty of money. It's a Department of Zogland Insecurity Petty Cash Drawer Fund thing. It's a false front. Sort of like Jim Roy Rage Giles, sort of like Trader Glenn Miller. And maybe, I think it's very likely, Corn Cob. So folks, by all means, if Corn Cob goes in and gets a, you know, pod blank, enjoy a few videos. If you're able to figure out a way to go ahead and save them, save them. They may not show up again. But don't believe everything you see just because it claims to be white nationalist. You need to be smarter than a fish. You need to go ahead and see the hook within the bait. Don't swallow the bait. Or else you'll be flipped up like a fish. As they say, fish wouldn't have been caught if he kept his mouth shut. Fish wouldn't be caught unless he was greedy. Nothing wrong with downloading stuff. Nothing wrong with spying on VNNF. I do it all the time. But on the other hand, there is no need for you folks to go ahead and get into a skirt. I'm tired. Get involved with Jim Royd Rage Retard. And what happens, I think I've lasted 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'm probably going to go ahead and come, eventually come to an end here. Usually people do not call in. I really don't have any problem with them or Jim Royd Rage Retard or anybody calling in. Usually I want to go ahead and, get to what they want to cover. But usually most of the time they don't want to. About the only time people called in was Jet and John. And what happens, they have their own agenda. I don't think the Zogbox, they have their own little agenda. It's not exactly a Christian identity agenda, but I have no problem with them. And what happens is maybe, they're very good at working with stuff here. What they are, what I like about Jet and John, especially Jet Rink, is that essentially he's sort of like Alex Linder Light. He just rubs Alex Linder wrong because he's so much like Alex Linder in some way, in many ways. So as a result, I sort of like seeing old Jet and John show up and rub old Linder the wrong way like a corn cob. So where was I? I mean, folks, don't believe everything you hear. Not even on this show here. What happens is I don't know everything. Like I was saying, I thought that April Gady really wouldn't go ahead and bite Corn Cob, and then I would go ahead and read that April Gady was black Corn Cob. Now, probably it's because April Gady has become a rather nice woman here instead of what she used to be. And what happens is that I really have nothing mean to say about April Gady, although sometimes, me and John Britt like teasing her about, her old ways here of being somewhat of a slut. But she's become quite a good activist, and I have no quarrel with April Gady. Unlike Quiggerswill, who still hasn't got over the fact that she dumped his Anglo-Mestizo ass after she got tired of him using her as a punching bag. Bill Covington pretty well says something like that, although he's not allowed to go ahead and talk about Wiggerswell. Wiggersville got a bad reputation for, you know, beating his humps. In any case, folks, by all means, go ahead and take, you know, I mean, try to protect yourself when you're downloading a bunch of this stuff. If you can, go ahead and use an internet proxy, although these internet proxies have traditionally been funded by Zog. So in many cases, you're just better off just going to a library and paying $1 for a tape or something like that. But the problem of it is, at the library, you have to go ahead and give your library card. You have to go ahead and give your name. You can't just go ahead and log in. So essentially, Zog is trying to go ahead and find out who you are and where you be all the time. But in many cases, so like when you end up going ahead and become sort of famous or something like that, sort of like old James Von Brunn done, they went ahead and took down Edgar Steele's webpage. And by the way, I do need to go ahead and check. Let me go ahead and do a quick check and see whether Edgar Steele's webpage is even still up anymore. Let me go ahead and look. I haven't thought to look for about 2 weeks here. Let me type in Edgar Steele. Okay, hold on. Hold on, folks. Well, it looks like he's still up. At least his Nick Lawrence is. Okay? But then again, if they'd go ahead and put it down, he wouldn't look very good. Folks, that's another thing you might go ahead and save, is you might go ahead and save old Edgar Steele's Nick Lawrence. You might go ahead and save his conspiracy pen pals, because you may end up having a famine. What Edgar Steele had to say. Now, I didn't agree with everything that Edgar Steele had to say. And obviously, his buy silver didn't work out very good for him. In fact, the exact opposite. But folks, you might want to go ahead and download what you can while you can. Be it this show, be it Covington's excellent podcast, be it a number of things. Recently, I went ahead and figured out how to go ahead and download his Covington's MP3 files, and I'm listening to them on a CD-ROM, a cheap CD-ROM, and I go ahead and cut. And maybe I can go ahead and work it out to where, I go ahead and send a copy of Covington, and he can go ahead and sell it to his supporters or something like that and make a little bit of money or have some coming in or whatever. Anyway, folks, what happens is that there's a difference between resistance white men and all these little Jew boys playing at white nationalism and playing at revolution. And what happens, they're all talk, they're all mouth. What they want you to do is they want you to go ahead and reveal yourself. They're telling you that you're a coward. Traitor Glenn Miller, who ran out of my office, is telling people that you're a coward unless you go ahead and give him his name, unless you send him some money. Unless you go ahead and support the rat, why, you're a coward. No, folks. What you are is you're not a traitor by not supporting Traitor Glenn Miller. Let Traitor Glenn Miller earn his Zog bucks, and let Traitor Glenn Miller do whatever. But you don't need to support him. You don't need to have anything to do with the worthless bastard. Not if you're smart. Not if you are smart. So what's the difference between the resistance white men? Essentially, we know that there is no stopping the fight against Zog. There is no ceasing to keep on fighting. We have no choice but to press on. We cannot go ahead and fall prey of our fears. Once, you know, I mean, day after day after day, I would be locked up in that house, you know, all sorts of rumors about what was going on. And I found out that the only thing you can do is pray to Yahweh and hope that it's Yahweh's will that you survive. And it's Yahweh's will that he sets you free. And some days, I would have despair that I would never get out alive. I'd be in there for years and years and years. And that what they do is that they take me off the Risperidone and put me on Haldol. And essentially make me to where I didn't even feel like fighting with them anymore. Oh, some of these evil drugs that they go ahead and give you. And the thing about it is, though, is that every evil empire follows the same routine. The same brain dead routines of every other evil empire. What happens is what I heard about the evil of the Soviet Union when I was a kid, Zog does exactly the same thing. But just like Russia, Zog is going to collapse. Zog is not going to last forever. And what happens is that more and more and more we see the end in sight. We see that essentially Zog can't go ahead and prevent these criminals from essentially destroying the environment in South Louisiana. And the more you see, essentially they knew, Goldman Sachs knew that, you know, British Petroleum was operating without a blowout valve, and the Obongo regulatories, the regulatory system, the NMS or something like that, went ahead and said, hey, go ahead and drill. Do whatever the hell you want. And then guess what? Now there's a blow up. You know, I looked at, what is it, K-83? They hope to go ahead. They took off the cap. Now they're going to go ahead and put it on. They hope it's going to sit this time. That's going to go ahead and they're going to do the same exact same thing you've always done. And sometime it's going to work. There's a lot of people who think that this was deliberate. And as a result, they're going to go ahead and declare martial law. They're going to go ahead and they're going to go ahead and refugee all these poor wiggers in Louisiana and these niggers and the rest and bring them inside. In order to go ahead and do that, they have to declare martial law. And there's a lot of rumors going on. But this thing was actually deliberate. And maybe Occam's razor, maybe that is the truth. But the thing about it is that when Zog is running like that and doing evil, Zog pretends that, guess what, there's going to be a constipation and bill of goods to save them. The police think that, guess what, they're the good guys. They can't do evil even while they're doing it, even while they're torturing people. Even while they're kicking people's teeth out and beating them up while they're handcuffed. Well, he was abusive to me verbally. Oh, no. That's why I went ahead and broke out four of his teeth like they did me. Well, he was abusive to me. I thought he was going to spit, so I ended up going ahead and killing the man or macing him while he, or pepper spraying him while he was handcuffed. Total cowards. Total cowards. And the fact of the matter is, these total cowards aren't able to go ahead when they do see a tough guy. They really do see a tough guy. That's what Jim Giles was calling me. He was calling me a tough guy. Jim Giles, yes, I'm a tough guy. Compared to you, I'm a tough guy. But the thing about it is that Tate the Butcher is a tough guy compared to you, Jim Giles. Sometimes Tate gets scared. What happens is occasionally he goes ahead and he shows a set of nuts. Like he did a month or so ago. I would say that Fade the Butcher is a tough guy compared to Jim Royd Rage Giles. Because what happens is it's scary. You know, he might be 5'6". He may be built by Pillsbury Doughboy. But Fade has his good moments. He shows a little bit of courage on occasion when he needs to do it. And he might have to work on screwing up his courage, but when it comes down to it, in many cases, Fade goes ahead, you know, and takes two steps forward before he takes a step backwards here. Yep, I would say that Fade the Butcher is a tough guy compared to Jim Giles. They call me a tough guy. Yeah, I'm a tough guy compared to you, Jim Giles. But, yo, shit, that ain't much here. I mean, when even Fade the Butcher is a tough guy compared to Jim, Roid Rage, Retard Giles. Judas Giles. Triple R. Folks, it takes no character to be a traitor. It takes no character to be a Zogbot. In fact, if you are a traitor and you are, you know, if you are a traitor, you are a Zogbot. You support Zog. You support the destruction of the entire white race because you are, if not a literal spawn of Satan, biologically you are an adoptive spawn of Satan, and you hate the white man. You're worse than the freaking nigger. At least the nigger has an excuse. At least the chink has an excuse. At least the beaner has an excuse for hating the white man. But if you're a Wigger Zogbot, you hate the white man, it's because, well, essentially, you've been affected by Jewism. You become an adoptive spawn of Satan. And you might actually be a literal spawn of Satan. Because that's where the Genesis 3:15 enmity comes from. Folks, I tried to go ahead, and yes, this is a gossip program, but I tried to go ahead and bring in religion, bring in the white man's racial hate religion, dual seed line Christian identity. Because, folks, my plan is essentially to go with the flow, and that's why I was trying to tell Edgar Steele. Go with the flow, and I need to go ahead and print that. I need to go ahead and scan in, you know, the nice things that Edgar Steele said about me. And I hope if anybody's writing Edgar Steele, they find out. If I go ahead and find an address, I'll probably send them a letter. I don't think it will be received. Essentially tell Edgar Steele, say, hey, Edgar, we've had our differences. My support, you 100%. You're innocent as far as I'm concerned, and even if you weren't innocent, I support you 100%. Because, Edgar, you're a hero of the resistance, as far as I'm concerned. And I stand behind the heroes of the resistance. Maybe if someday you end up getting silver, you can go ahead and send me, send me some of it here so I can make a medal out of it for you. You know what I mean? We need to go ahead, as heroes of the resistance, we need to go ahead and have a medal exchange program. Because it's so crass to go ahead and pull off Mongoloid Hardy and reward yourself. But Edgar, you're a hero of the resistance. And what happens? I support you 100%. You don't need to explain nothing to me, and you shouldn't. Because when you explain something to me, you're explaining to Zog, and Zog can go ahead and use that against you. Do not accept a public pretender. You need to get over being a lawyer. You need to go get over being an officer of the court because they have treated you like shit. You need to be, in your own mind, a hero of the resistance. You need to go ahead and stop counting the cost because essentially, Edgar, you're as good as dead. Just listen to the fact that chances are you're not going to make three score 70. Chances are you're not going to be alive next year. So go for broke. Don't quit. Spur the beast. Ride the tiger. Tell Zog to lick your ass, to suck your dick, and to fuck off, eat shit, and die. Folks, Edgar, you're a hero of the resistance, and you need to act accordingly. Yes, I know you're alone, but you're not alone. There's no prison. Well, if you call upon Yahweh, the Yahweh will not come and give you the strength to continue. There is no prison, no dark, no matter how dark, no matter how dank, that is immune from Yahweh. Yahweh is your friend. Embrace Yahweh. Get in right with Jesus Christ. Get in right with Yahweh. Listen to what you've learned, and you should have listened when Richard Butler was telling you something here. Go ahead and become. I mean, I would ordain you in a second if you wanted it. Go ahead and go all the way. Stop worshiping yourself and worship Yahweh and worship the white man's racial hate religion of dual feedline Christian identity. They're calling you an Aryan Nation member, you know, an Aryan Nations member, Edgar. Well, in that case, you become an Aryan Nations member because you're going to get screwed anyway. So you might as well just go whole hog and have done with it, Edgar. Edgar, I wish you well, and I will be praying for you, and I'll add you in my prayers. Okay? Even though you weren't one of my stalwarts. Even though you sound not yet insane, what happens is that you have to be insane if you're going to go ahead and fight against Zog, because generally fighting against Zog may not be a safe thing to do. It may not be the safe thing to do. But in the, you know, as is written here, that he who seeks to lose his life shall find it, and he who seeks to save his life shall lose it. Edgar, as far as I'm concerned, you're a hero of the resistance. Don't get a public pretender. Don't, you know, don't go ahead and in any way help Zog screw you over, because Zog is out to get you. You should know it by now. Get over being a lawyer. In any case, this is, you know, if anybody of you are able to go ahead and find out where Edgar Steele is and, you know, write him a letter, you know, tell him that the true dual feedline Christian identity ministry supports Edgar Steele, that they think he's a hero of the resistance, but we do have different tactics, and Edgar, you need to go ahead and change your tactics, because, hey, you're screwed anyway. Go for broke. Anyway, and that is what makes the difference between a white man resistance soldier and a little Jew boy playing at resistance. Your little Jim Gileses, your Trader Glenn Millers, your Wiggerswills, your Haddings, your Mona Montgomery's, you know, and then slightly above that, your Gibbons, your Apes, your Orangutans, your Niggers. I had to go ahead and put that in. Folks, the time has come to stop playing at revolution. It's going to happen, regardless what anyone does. The Great Tribulation is already well underway. Thing about it is that it really hasn't really got into big, you know, it hasn't really got into its main gear. It's coming around here. What we call the Great Die-Off, what we'll end up calling the Great Civil War, or what us Christian identity people call the Great Tribulation. It's happening. And when it is over, 90% of the population will be dead. And I believe only 10% of the Whiggers, former Whiggers, will be alive. If we play our cards right, none of them, you know, none of the niggers, none of the beaners, none of the Jews, and any non-whites who do side with us, who decide to become Gibeonites, they might very well have their reservations here. But folks, Zog must be destroyed, and Zog will be destroyed. Zog has no choice in it. All we can do is determine how we live and how we die. It's Yahweh who goes ahead and determines what happens, because we are fighting this war, not on our time, but on Yahweh's time. So Edgar, I hope you get a routine down. And I know you're scared, and I know you're depressed, and I know that you feel abandoned, because I've been in the same position as you. I know what it's like. What you do is that you have a high IQ, you have your wits about you, have a sense of humor, endure, show that you're a gentleman, and even the prison guards will respect you. What happens is that You can overcome this here. You might die of it, but you can overcome. You're a hero of the resistance, as far as I'm concerned. You can do no wrong. You need not explain yourself to me, and you certainly should not explain yourself to Zog. You don't need to go ahead and tell how things go, because I believe you. Whatever you say, I believe you. But you don't need to tell me anything. You don't need to explain anything to me. And you don't need to explain anything to the resistance. Anyway, for those of you listening in, do I end up having to say to Edgar Steele, which I don't know he will, but I hope that Yahweh goes ahead and tells him that. I hope he gets right in Yahweh. Anyway, I've been up for a while. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead, and it's close to 3 hours, and I've given, I think, what I think, full value for your time. So I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.